Good afternoon and welcome to Chemical World. I am Kenna Crampton and joined by Mugsy Faye.
Hey, hey, hey. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday.
Right?
I saw a sign from Portland on social media today that said, I hate Mondays and fascism.
Yeah, that's a that's good perfect. Promo. Yeah, I've done a lot in my life to escape that like feeling of the Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a fan.
Me
Anywho,
too.
But it's a beautiful day, I'm assuming.
Mondays, actually, I don't have as much of a problem with as I do get the Sunday scares.
Yeah, the Sunday scares. I feel like that's like, it's like a sunset thing for me. And especially, I don't know, there's this experience for me, like driving down 82 and the sun is setting. It's a very like Sunday evening feeling.
So interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, it is Monday afternoon and we're recording this on Sunday early afternoon.
So we got the Sundays and the Mondays in the mix.
Yeah, and I definitely, you know, whatever. As a someone who works from home, it's definitely doesn't really matter anymore.
that's my goal. But then you get those Monday vibes. Like it doesn't have to be on a Monday. You know, they'll sneak up on you. Happy to be in the studio with you as always in this beautiful autumn entering winter question mark. And
yeah,
I just wanted to kick off today by just thanking everyone for some amazing Halloween events over the past few weeks. The zombie pub crawl that High Rockies Harm Reduction hosted in downtown Carbondale on October 24th, I believe it was so much fun, super successful. We actually profited a little bit off of our little scavenger hunt. Zombie crawl, check, punch, pass things. So that was really fun and really appreciate everyone coming out and just making it a great and super fun time. Of course, could not have done it without our community partners. So huge shout outs and thank yous to Downtown Liquor on Main, El Dorado, La Raza, Carbondale Beer Works, the Crystal Theater, and the Black Nugget. We had so much fun. We raised some money. So definitely excited to do that again next year. I think it's the perfect marriage, you know, High Rockies, Harm Reduction, and the Zombie Pub Crawl. And we were able to get Narcan into a lot of the bars and participating locations that night. And, you know, if everyone had Narcan, a lot more people could be brought back from the dead. So love taking on Zombie Pub Crawl and excited to bring it back again next year. And then, of course, we had the epic Bonedale Spooktacular. And
oh, yeah, that looked like so much fun.
Yeah, it was so great because I think, you know, the idea behind both of these events is we just really want to create a good time for folks, you know. And I think that we were really successful with both of those. And so, you know, of course, a huge thank you to Thunder River Theater for hosting us and to the Crystal Theater and to the Roaring Divas and Dance Initiative and the Flash Mob and El Sabor Mexico for coming out with food and our security team and KDNK events committee and just everyone who came out and was a part of bringing that Halloween party together. Oh my God. Thank you, Sweet Jessup. Thank you, Arturo, for doing our sound. It was an absolute blast. And I'm so glad that I've heard, you know, from countless people that everyone had a great time, that the music was great, that the Rocky Horror screenings were great. I've heard a lot of people did not realize that it was me as Columbia in the Rocky Horror screenings.
You literally look just like Columbia. It was crazy. I was like, because we had talked about that on my show on Friday morning, just about how like you identify almost more as
Magenta. Yeah.
Which was the name that I remembered last time. Not Columbia. But anyway, I didn't actually even watch Rocky Horror this year. So this feels very wrong that I'm even talking about it. No, I'm just kidding. But it was funny because, you just like with the wig and everything, you look just like Columbia. It was almost like that actress had come out of the screen.
Oh, thank you. Well, it was funny. A lot of people saw my set and saw that I was dressed like Columbia, but did not realize it was me in the Rocky Horror screenings. And that was like that 7 p.m. Rocky Horror screening, I think, was the most fun performance of my life. The crowd was amazing. It was so much fun. And yeah, I think Columbia is one of just a few costumes. You know, usually for Halloween or Dia de los Muertos, whatever it is, I will just like paint my face like a ghoul and wear some crazy dress. But every now and then I pick a character, and the characters I pick are like weirdly super spot on. And while I always felt like I could do Magenta's outfit and hair a lot easier and naturally, I'm glad I ended up with Columbia because that's definitely the vibe I bring to the function. Like Magenta is like, she's like a Scorpio, I think, right? Like she's laid back and kind of mysterious and carefree and deep and sensual. Columbia is a little more manic pixie energy. And I feel like it was also the perfect costume for the night because Columbia also is like, I mean, Magenta and Riff Raff are like butlers and nurses, but maids, excuse me. But Columbia, she is in this interesting situation where like she has love for Frankenfurter, but he does not respect her or treat her right. But she still does everything she can to support Frankenfurter, to support the house. You know, she's by his side, helping him in surgery, there to collect Brad and Janet's clothes. Like she really runs around and does a lot of the hard work to make it happen. And that was very much how I felt on Halloween, was like just everywhere all at once, doing everything I could to bring this event together. But luckily there was no Frankenfurter mistreating me. I felt very respected and supported by everyone who brought that event together. But it was definitely like I imbibed that manic pixie energy of Columbia very well. I think it was a good match.
Yeah. Well, because then she obviously has the whole conflict of being in love with Meatloaf's character. So that obviously goes completely against Frankenfurter too. So that's also a little very manic of like
she's got a rebellious
Frankenfurter, and then also
Eddie.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a rebellious streak in her. She's very torn. She's a very torn character. But that's a whole nother rewatch podcast.
Thanks to
everyone who made that possible. Definitely hope we can bring back the Rocky Horror screening next year and the Katie and Kay Halloween party, hopefully again in collaboration with the theaters. But it was so much fun. And then of course, first Friday, Dia de los Muertos was amazing, beautiful, as always, the parade. Huge crowds out for that. And so just shout out to all the volunteers and folks at Carbondale Arts for making that super fun night happen as well. So it's been, all right, our 3 weeks of Halloween are over. It's time to enter winter, right?
Yeah. Get into holidays, other holidays, I guess. I was not around for any of that stuff. I'm like the opposite sober person. Like, I'm like, yeah, I don't drink, so I don't go out and do any of this stuff. And you don't drink and you go out and represent the sobies. Sometimes I call myself a sobie. I don't know why.
Yeah, I definitely don't identify as being sober. So, I always say I don't want not drinking to get in the way of my life the way that drinking got in the way of my life, you know?
And that's so great. I think, I am definitely, like, I identify as an introvert. Extrovert. Mm-hmm, so like first and foremost, I enjoy my alone time, but I also do need a little bit of, but I can like, that's where it's like, I don't, I get overwhelmed easily. And so those kinds of events are not like, I like to do, I'm very particular about the type of events that I go out and like spend my time with.
I won't spend too much time on this, but I've been listening to Amy Poehler's podcast a lot, mm-hmm. Good Hang, and she talks a lot about the introvert-extrovert experience. And it's really cool listening to, you know, these phenomenal artists like Kate McKinnon and Kristen Wiig talking about that introverted side of them, which is definitely not what we see when we see them on screen, right? And I really resonate. And she most recently had Maya Hawke on the show, and they were talking about, Maya Hawke specifically was talking about, she sees it as like the three cups that she has to have filled in order to balance. And those cups are like alone time, time with groups, and one-on-one interactions. Yeah. And Amy Poehler talked about like her magnets, and that it's like five different magnets. And not that they are all on the fridge at the same time, but like you don't want to let one magnet get dusty, and you want to try to get three on in a day. And that's like work time, alone time, family time, you know. And I'm like, oh my God, this is $1 million idea. They joke about it, but I'm like, yeah, please sell me those magnets.
Because
I love them. It's, I think, for all of us, whether you're, I don't know, it's interesting too to see, you know, so much of the way that we've talked about things historically is so black and white. Like, I was just rereading the other day about, you know, what we call the stages of grief are not the stages of grief. They were not designed for grief. They were designed for folks who have terminal illness, and it's coming to terms with your own loss of life. It's not for the grief of another one. And there are just all these things in the nomenclature, right, that we just kind of come to believe as this colloquial wisdom or whatever, but they're not really rooted in reality, or like the left and right side of the brain, right? It's like, obviously we all use both sides of the brain. And so it's interesting listening to people who are kind of teasing out that it's, I think, very rare to be just exclusively an introvert or exclusively an extrovert. I think we all have, it's a balancing act for all of us. And some of us, of course, are going to be quieter in some circumstances, and some of us are going to be louder in some circumstances. But mm-hmm. we all have, I think, in the right circumstances, that tendency to be very shy or be very outgoing. And, you know, I'm always against putting us in very well-defined boxes, because it's hard to break out once you put yourself in there.
Yeah, I think we're probably, I mean, I think right now is a perfect example of that. So I don't know. Yeah, I mean, not to, yeah, even get too, like, in the weeds of what's happening in the country, but it's just, I think seeing the nuance in everything is what's just so important, because nothing is black and white, and, like, no person is going to fit what you want 100%. I mean, and one person might represent everything that you don't want all 100%. sorry. But I think, like, I think that nuance is just so important. All the time, honestly. Like, black and white is just, like, the black and white thinking, whenever I get into black and white thinking, it's pretty dangerous of, like, well, those people do this, and that is not okay. And it's like, who are those people? Even earlier, you were like, who is they anyway? And I've done that with my husband before, too, and he's like, you guys. And I'm like, who's you guys? Me? And then he's like,
yeah, and no, I agree. Like, the black and white thinking, I think, is a little bit of a trap for us. And, you know, there are some things that we understand about the universe, and there are a lot of things we don't. So I think just staying open to that, like, you know, fallibility, we all can be wrong. And there's a lot for us to all learn. And yeah, the world is definitely in multiple shades of gray.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, like, it's really hard to be like, there's nuance, but the one thing that I think is definitely, like, black and white is that, like, hate is never okay and love is usually okay. But yeah, then
I think love is always, I don't know, for me, the answer. And so I was, you know, not wanting to get too into this on the show. We were talking a little bit before we came on, but this morning, it's Sunday while we're recording, and I actually was out of church this morning, and I felt like, you know, the message, like, so perfectly aligns with what we do at Hierarchies Harm Reduction, because it's 100% about, like, love and compassion over punishment and shame, right? And I think religion can manifest on both sides of that for different folks. And I think one of the biggest tragedies in the world today and for very long is the way that, you know, religion, which is such a personal and wholesome, in my opinion, thing at its root, has been weaponized, you know? And it's really sad and frustrating right now. And I don't want to get too into it, because I don't want anyone to feel, like, polarized or attacked or isolated or whatever. Like, we are very much all in this, and I don't want to talk about any specific, like, theology, because I don't want it to be misinterpreted. But
and we only have
so much time, right? Yeah. But you know, I just think, like, that message of, like, love your neighbors, like, it's so simple and it's so easy, and we lose it so much in this day and age, whether you are a churchgoer or believer or not. Like, I just think there's not enough love, and those are not good words, but I would like, and I'm trying every day to lean more into the love than, because it's easy to get trapped in the hatred and the division and the isolation. And I think it was a really emotional experience for me to be in the church this morning, because it's like, God, I wish, you know, in a sense, that we all still had this, and we're losing because of this loss of connection to the church and religiosity and all these things, we're losing the ties that bind our community. And so I've been spending all morning thinking about, like, well, how do we bring that back in a way that's meaningful for people? Like, and I think we do pretty well here in this valley and here in Carbondale specifically, but I really worry about all the folks who I just know how easy it is to become isolated and not have those community connections. And they're so important to our health. And going back to that, like cups and introvert, extrovert, it's like socialization is a need, you know?
Yeah, we're social. We are a social primate. And well, first of all, I have heard that Generation Z is actually going a lot more into religious and churches, and there is actually a surge of young people starting to be a little more on that, like, church going and then conservative side. But as you were talking about, like, I just been thinking about this a lot, and I actually told William about this morning, and then I was like, I don't know why I just told you this, but first I had told him about this story about this man who had, and Glennon Doyle had been telling this story, and I've heard a few people recite it again, and about this man who would show up at the White House and hold a candle every night during the Vietnam War. Mm. And someone at one point asked him, like, why do you think that, like, you as a single person standing out here with a candle are going to do anything to change the people inside? And he said, I'm not here to change them. I'm here so that way they don't change me. Mm. And I've just been thinking about that so much because, yeah, like, letting that hate build up in you it's so easy when you see these horrific things, you know, on social media of, you know, a man having a seizure because he's lost air, you know, and it's like, and then now he's never going to see his wife again, possibly. I mean, I don't want to say he's never because we don't know. It's so easy to be like, this is clearly wrong. It's like sometimes there is black and white where it's like, this is clearly wrong. But to not let yourself get taken over by the hate of, like, these people doing, you know, I don't know. I've been working through it a lot. I just don't let them change you.
Yeah, and I think that the sad and scary part is that it is so easy to fall into that hatred. And, you know, I was just speaking actually to a class at CMC about this earlier this week, that the reality is that, and I was just reading about this in a book about politics, that while it can feel really tempting to fall into violence, like, that has actually only ever hurt movements and created this, like, reason for backlash. And so I really don't want to get into this at all, actually, but I do just want to say that, like, violence is never the answer. We have relied on violence as the only answer for thousands of years. And this was something I was thinking about this morning too, driving back from the church, is just, you know, it can be very tempting, but I want to leave a world for our children that's better than the world that my mother left me. Mm-hmm. And I really want to do everything I can to support nonviolence. And I think the reality is, that right now, like, the powers that be are trying to incite violence. Mm-hmm. They are trying to get us to react violently by taking away a lot of things. And so, yeah, I don't, again, but that's the reality, right? And so if we act violently, and then that gives them a reason to act violently back. And so that it's scary, but it's really beautiful to me seeing that there is a lot of, like, nonviolent response happening, and, you know, a lot of mutual aid response. And that's where we really should be putting our efforts into, is, like, we got it. But it's so easy to get off on that hatred track and to be conditioned to hate your neighbors, especially if you, like, listen to things about people instead of, like, going out and interacting with people. So
totally,
it's like that community thing. And just going back to what you're saying about Gen Z, yeah, there is this kind of resurgence in, like, spirituality. And I think here locally we get to see, you know, this, because I think the issue is, like, how do we reimagine things like the church to work for the modern generation? And I think we have really cool options here. Like, I know 13 Moons hosts so many cool things for men and women and co-ed groups, and these ways to come together in community, to come together in spirit. And so that's, you know, I think it takes all kinds, and we need all the outlets we can possibly get for folks to be able to come together. And I'll take that as my opportunity to transition, because I did just want to talk about some, like, scheduling changes that Hierarchy's Harm Reduction is going to have throughout the holidays, specifically. So today is Monday, November 10th, right? God, mm-hmm. November is just slipping away. And so we're going to be having some closures over the next couple months. So I'd love to just talk about that. But before I derail, I want to make time for any lingering follow-ups.
No, all good.
Yeah, you know, High Rockies Home Reduction is continuing to provide our mobile pop-up services. Sadly, we did lose our Newcastle location, but we do now have our monthly location in Rifle on second Saturdays. So we'll for sure be out there in December and hopeful that we can start bringing some more Rifle location times in 2026. But basically, we are not going to be in Aspen and Snowmass on Thursdays or Basalt and Carbondale on Fridays for the next 3 weeks. So for the rest of November, this week I will be out of town doing some capacity building stuff. Next week I will be out serving Eagle, Breckenridge, and Leadville and Dillon and Edwards. So I will be in Leadville on Saturday, November 22nd at St. George's Mission from 9 to 11 a.m. and the Lake County Library from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. And then the whole week of Thanksgiving, we will be closed. So we will be at our regular Glenwood services at the West Glenwood Mall from 12 to 2 p.m. every Wednesday through November, except for the 26th. We will be completely closed the week of Thanksgiving. And then we will be returning back to our regular schedule in December. So the first week of December, we will have our regular Glenwood, Aspen, Snowmass, Basalt, and Carbondale services. But then, unfortunately, we're going to have some more closures, specifically in Aspen through December. Right now, I basically have to take that 1 week off where I go out to Leadville. So in December 18th, 19th, 20th, we'll be out in Eagle, Edwards, Breckenridge, Dillon, and Leadville, and we will not have Aspen, Snowmass, Basalt, Carbondale services that week. And then Christmas and New Year's Day fall on Thursdays. So again, it'll be 3 weeks. Aspen and Snowmass will not be serviced, but Glenwood, Basalt, and Carbondale should remain mostly unaffected throughout December. We may change some things up in January as well, but we're really excited. We've got really good news coming down the pipeline. So, you know, it's November, it's off season, it's pretty quiet, it's getting cold. So it's kind of good timing for us to scale back a little bit with services and really do some capacity building efforts so that starting next March, we can come back to full weekly services 100% and hopefully maybe some additional locations, plus, you know, those six that we have from Aspen to Rifle right now. So doing some good stuff. But we, you know, also recognize that that's hard to not serve a community for 3 weeks. So we're working on creating some extra options. Of course, folks can get free Narcan at any library from Aspen to Parachute, except for Basalt. But I'm hoping that we're going to change that in the near future. And then we can always mail services or do delivery by appointment from Aspen to Rifle. Happy to do that in Eagle, Edwards, Breck, Dillon, Leadville as well, though it might take us a little bit longer to get to you. But we can definitely mail some stuff. And then on Monday, December 22nd, we're going to do a public Narcan training at the Aspen Library at 5:30 p.m. So I'm really excited that week of Christmas that we're going to be able to provide this training because we'll probably have a lot of folks in town. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of stuff can happen around the holidays. A lot of people feel, you know, a lot of depression and anxiety around the holidays or through the winter. And then, of course, you know, a lot of people feel very festive and there can be a lot of celebrating and there can be, you know, a lot of good times too. But, you know, either way, overdoses are possible in all of those situations. So we want folks to have the supplies to keep them safe, healthy, happy, and alive. So if you need supplies, if you have questions, you know, visit HighRockiesHarmReduction.com, check out our schedule, and shoot us an email if those times don't work for you, or give me a call or a text. Follow us on Instagram at HighRockiesHarmReduction. You can reach out to us there too, and we'll do whatever we can, wherever you're at, to make sure you have what you need.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, yeah, well, I don't know. We have a couple more minutes.
I did just think of another plug, actually. So, you know, we alluded to it, and I'm sorry to, like, shy away sometimes from the more contentious political things that are happening, because I just don't want anyone to feel alienated. But at the same time, like, we really are all under attack right now. And SNAP and food benefits, this is, you know, a serious problem. People in our communities are going to go hungry through, like, the most important time of the year. So it's just really been great to see so many folks coming together to try and provide additional resources. So I know a lot of downtown businesses have come together, and Carbondale Beer Works is specifically doing a food drive and pantry. So I believe that they're still collecting food all week, and then we'll be working on a plan for distributing it out to the community as well. So please, if you're in the area and want to drop off some food or, you know, other non-perishable items, SNAP benefits don't usually cover things like diapers, tampons, toothpaste, dog food, toilet paper. And so we've seen a lot of really great donations of all kinds of things coming in, which is awesome. So please stop by if you need something or if you want to donate something. We're doing everything we can to make sure the community is fed, and I know Downtown Liquors and Fat Thai have also been involved with that. So it's hard times right now, but it is really heartwarming to see folks coming together and trying to figure out a solution.
Yeah, it was literally on the Peak website that they would be issued last night on Saturday, and then partway through the day on Saturday they had to take that down and say that it was paused again, because even though the judges ordered them to be distributed, now the administration is saying that that was an overreach over Congress for the judges to approve that. So
it's very frustrating to be the ping pong ball. And I got to a point on Friday where I was just, like, so frustrated reading, like, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Will it be issued? Will it not be issued? And again, you know, regardless of your politics, regardless of whatever, we just got to come together and take care of each other. That's all we can really do.
With that, happy holidays.
Please donate to your local food banks, local food pantry. There are lots of organizations out there trying to do good and help out.
Yeah. Well, and I do just want to end on that this woman said that the math of generosity is strange. So even if you don't feel like you have enough, if you give, we will all end up having enough. So just the way that it works. So I really needed to hear that, actually, because I felt like I was at my last dime, and then realizing, like, I can still give a can of food, so because I can afford it. Thank you for listening. This is Chemical World on KDNK. For past episodes, you can go to kdnk.org. And stay tuned. Next month, we will be back on the air on December 8th at 4 p.m. Thank you.
And remember, you don't have to be sober
to keep your community clean and fed.
Chemical girl, you know we are living in a chemical world, and I am a chemical girl.